morning and welcome to worship on the sixth Sunday of Easter. It's the week before Pentecost, and we continue to consider how resurrection lives in our lives, even in the midst of struggle. Here at Greystone, this is the last week of a series in which we've been reading Joan Chittister's book, Scarred by Struggle, Transformed by Hope. And we've considered the many struggles of our lives, including the struggle with the coronavirus pandemic and the reality that we are now worshiping from our homes instead of in our familiar sanctuaries. And so today, as we wind up that series, we consider the scars that struggle inflicts on our lives, the scars of the current struggle, as well as the accumulation of scars from our struggles in the past. And we consider how those scars are marks of transformation, rather than weights that bury us and keep us tied to our past. So today, as we worship God, we ask that the Spirit blow into this space, blow into our lives, and fill us with God's love, with God's kindness, with God's compassion. Let us worship God together this morning. Would you pray with me? Loving God, you have been so good to us. We know that you are with us in each and every struggle, and for that we give you great thanks. God, we ask that here in this moment, in this particular struggle, and in the individual struggles that we face on our own, we ask that you provide comfort, that you provide your peace, and that you open us to your presence with us now and forever. God, be with us this day as we gather in separate spaces, but with hearts united in worship of you. We come together in a spirit of gratitude and unity. And God, we ask that you come into our lives and transform us. Transform us even in the midst of struggle. Make us new. And make us a new creation that you are calling us to become. Amen.
Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices, resurrection anthems swell. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. See the tomb where death had laid him, empty now its mouth declares. Death and I could not contain him, for the throne of life he shares. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. Doubt may lift its head to murmur, scoffers mock and sinners jeer. But the truth proclaims a wonder, thoughtful hearts receive with cheer. He is risen, he is risen, now receive the
Friends, have you ever had a really bad day? Like, really, really, really bad? I know I've had some. One of those really bad days for me, I even have a couple scars to prove it. One of them is right there on my finger. I was in a car accident. It was a pretty bad one, but there were lots and lots of helpers. Lots of helpers that helped get us to the hospital and get us taken care of. And when I used to look at my scar, I'd remember that as a bad day. But now, a little bit older, I look at that scar and I remember that God was with me. No matter how scary it got, God was with me the whole time. Sometimes God looks like the people who helped us and helped us get to the hospital. Sometimes God looks like the nurses and the doctors at the hospital that helped us when we were there. Sometimes God looks like the cards and the flowers and the balloons and the smiling people who came to visit while I recovered. God is with us no matter how bad our days get. Our scripture today from the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul was telling his church that sometimes you're gonna have bad days. The important thing to remember is that God is with you through all of them. No matter how bad and scary and sad they are, God is with you through each and every one of them. Paul wanted the church to remember that God was with them and wanted them to remember that anything that they did was a way to show Jesus and God to everyone else. Just like all of those helpers helped me. They were being Jesus' hands and feet. They were being helpers and making sure that in my darkest of days, that there was a little light. There was a little happiness, a little joy, a whole lot of love. And I want you to remember that no matter how bad your day is, no matter what made it bad, whether it was something happened at school or that you didn't get to go to school or something that you really love broke or maybe even you made a mistake that caused an accident or hurt somebody's feelings, no matter what, God is with you. God will always be with you in your happy days, in your sad days, in your angry days, and in your very horrible, no good, very bad days. God is with you through all of them. And I'm so glad that God is. It makes those bad days a little bit easier when we remember. Can you say a prayer with me? Dear God, thank you for being with us on our very bad days. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being with us in the forms of people and helpers and smiles and all of the ways that you make sure that we know that you are with us. Help us to be that same light for others who are having a bad day. Help us to be the helpers and the smiles and those that are there to make their bad day a little bit better so that we can remind them that you love them too. In your name we pray. Amen.
I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Thank you. to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, in you we see awesome power. You triumph over death and bring forth new life. You transform the shattered pieces of our lives into strength and witness. You stand over all earthly powers. You are the head of the church. Yet we often fail to acknowledge this power in our lives. We see violence in the world and we crumble. We see injustice in our communities and we lose heart. We see hunger and need among our neighbors and we turn away. We see longing for something more, but we settle for the known. We see failures and faults in our lives, and we are immobilized. In all of these things, we feel powerless. Forgive our hesitance to call upon you. Forgive our propensity to rely upon ourselves. Forgive our reluctance to open our hearts and our lives to your sacred power. In our prayers and in our worship this day, may we understand anew your power and grace. And we will boldly pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Together, even while we are apart. And so we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. It is a letter from Paul to the Corinthians, praising God and also praising the gospel. For it is God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed. But we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and we also speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. This is the word of God for the people of God.
I have journeyed through a long, dark night. Out on the open sea. By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. As I face a raging sea, the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. But I never knew they could slip right through, as if they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face a raging sea. The storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face a raging sea. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. As I face a raging sea, the anchor holds. the storm.
On an ordinary Tuesday night, in March 1928, a young mother gave birth to a little baby boy. This mother wanted to be sure that she had as much support as possible for what she knew would be a difficult delivery. So she made her way to the family home in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, where she would be surrounded by family for the risky birth of her little baby boy. Nancy, the young mother, cared deeply for her son and made sure that he knew it all his life. Young Fred grew up wanting for little. His parents, Nancy and James, both came from wealthy and well-educated families. They were generous people, pillars in the community who poured every ounce of what they had back into their community. And of course, they provided for everything Fred ever wanted or needed. When Nancy or James learned about a need within their community, they were known to write a check, supplying the need directly from their own pocket. They were revered by everyone, loved by all adult society. But when young Fred started school, his parents' reputation worked out a little bit differently for him. Known for the family wealth, other children picked on Fred because, well, he was different from them. Over time, Fred also developed severe asthma, which kept him indoors most of the summer and further isolated him from his peers. While Fred played alone in the third floor playroom, his parents could often be found hosting parties and entertaining adult guests two floors below. The scars of a lonely childhood stayed with him his entire life. His solitary struggle with isolation and bullying could have hardened his heart to future relationships. It could have made him cold and callous toward others. It could have made him freeze up. Out of his painful experiences, Fred could have chosen to live his life inflicting the pain that he felt onto others, as people so often do, because struggle is incredibly hard. Joan Chittister writes, "Real struggle hurts. It marks us in ways we don't even realize when it happens. Years can pass before we begin to comprehend the marks and the scars trouble hews out of the flesh of our lives. It leaves us wounded and chastened and different for the rest of our days. Struggle brings us to closer points in life after which we become new people, sometimes worse, often better, but always different." Luckily for young Fred, the people of Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and for the whole world, really, he did not let the scars of his childhood change him for the worse. Instead, Fred Rogers allowed his pain, his struggle, to transform him into a source of love and healing that children of many generations would come to know in the face of Mr. Rogers, of Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Struggle is an unavoidable reality of human existence. We all face times of trial. We all experience brokenness, pain, and even failure as we wrestle with the challenges of human life. Each time we do, we become new people, and we live the rest of our lives carrying the scars that mark the struggles of our past. The Corinthian church and its founder, Paul, bear witness to this human reality. Paul, who was once a persecutor of those who followed Jesus, he was transformed on the road to Damascus when he was struck blind by the light of God. Carrying the scars from that encounter, he eventually gained his sight back, but never forgot that powerful, transformative experience. He emerged from that struggle a new man with a new name, and he went on to share the news of that conversion for the rest of his life. His struggle and transformation did not end with that one single encounter. But his struggle plays out in his letters to the early churches. His transformation shows as he grows to understand the expansive power of God's love. First, Paul understands the good news of God for the Jews, And then his understanding grows more as he sees God's love and salvation is also available for the Gentiles. And before he dies, Paul is convinced that life in God is bigger even than that. It's for the whole world. It's for all people everywhere and for all of time. These divine revelations and holy convictions, though, they did not come without a price. And the reading for today bears witness to that truth. We are afflicted in every way, Paul writes. Afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Transformation does not come without struggle. These words from Paul are written to remind the struggling church in Corinth that they too should expect trying and troublesome days. These words remind the people that the call to follow Jesus is a call to follow Jesus all the way to the grave. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies, Paul writes to the Corinthians. For Paul, the whole promise of the Christian life was wrapped up in this gift of transformation. He, more than most people, knew firsthand what it meant to die to self, to let go of all that once mattered in order to be made new. And through the words written to his beloved church in Corinth, he urged them also to embrace and embody that reality. We, like that Corinthian congregation, understand the struggle of transformation. As challenges emerge from almost every direction, we are beginning to understand that our new life will not come without a certain amount of letting go. First, we let go of the building as our place of gathering. Then we release the idea that we might be able to gather together again on Easter or maybe on Pentecost. And now, as we begin to imagine opening back up, coming back together, we are coming to terms with the reality that it's not safe for us to do the things that we love to do. It is not safe for us to sing together. It's not safe for us to sit near to one another, to share a hymnal, or to pass an offering plate. Now, we have to accept that even communion, our holiest meal, cannot take place in the ways we have grown to love. The means by which we share Christ's love with one another, they are all being transformed. Here in the midst of struggle, we do not yet know what life will look like when we emerge on the other side. But we do know that it will never quite be the same again. We are called to cling to hope and to employ the skills that we have learned in all of our individual struggles. When life has taken us by surprise, when relationships are broken, when the rejection letters come, when school schedules change, when frightening diagnoses are revealed, when our hearts are broken, and when we feel that we are utterly afraid, all we have to do is let go of what might have been. And perhaps also we have to let go of how it might have been. For many of us, in these times of personal struggle, we have turned to the church and to all of her familiar comforts, the pews, the smell of the hallway, the Sunday school classes, those old familiar hymns, the candles, and the beauty of the stained glass. They have all been there to remind us of God's presence in our lives, even in our darkest moments. Now, that very source of comfort is the center of our struggle. How painful it is to be in the midst of crisis and, at the same time, distanced from the very spaces of our comfort. In times like these, we are reminded of just how fragile those spaces can be. We have this treasure, Paul writes. We have this treasure in clay jars, this invaluable gift of God's beloved community held together in fragile packages like church buildings and sacred rituals. Now, more than ever, we can see that our clay jars, which hold those sacred things, they can and will be broken. But that's just the nature of clay, isn't it? It can never safely contain the power of the treasure that lies within it, because at times that treasure is dying to break through. It's dying to bust out, dying to share its gift with all that lies beyond it. The good news of the gospel, you see, that treasure, it is not contained to the Jews or the Gentiles. It's meant for the whole world. The good news of the gospel is not restricted to male or female. It is meant for all of humankind. The good news of the gospel will not be contained to building or ritual. It will break forth, cracking every shell and ceiling that we try to build around it, because the love of God will make a way to shine through every darkness. This image of God's light shining through the cracks in our man-made clay jars reminds me of the Japanese art of kintsugi. Originating in the 15th century, when a high-ranking military official broke his favorite ceramic teacup, rather than throwing away the pieces, as you and I might do, he sent it off to China to see if it might be repaired. When he saw the product mended with ugly metal staples, as was the custom of its day, he sent it away once more, this time to Japanese craftsmen, with the hope that they might find a more aesthetically pleasing solution. Well, as fate would have it, they were able to use a new technique that fused gold pieces with the lacquer that was used to mend the broken pieces of clay back together. The end result was a risky solution that didn't even attempt to conceal or to hide the cracks and breaks from before. Rather, one that celebrated the brokenness of the piece, highlighting those very cracks and lines with gold. More than 600 years later, the technique remains a highly sought-after practice, which dramatically increases the value of ordinary ceramics. According to kintsugi, the scars bear witness to the value of transformation. How will we piece back together the scars of this struggle? Young Fred Rogers carried the pain of his childhood isolation with him for the rest of his life. Rather than emerging from the struggle calloused and cold, Fred imagined a world where all children were seen and celebrated, where all children were noticed and valued and welcomed. For a while, he thought that he would live out his calling to be with children in the church as a Presbyterian minister. But through yet even another personal transformation, he realized that his gift, his ability to shine God's light, was meant for PBS on a popular TV show called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Through that unconventional platform, children all over the world and of many generations learned about honesty and dignity and respect and loving kindness. Sitting alone in his playroom, listening to the roar of grown-up community happening two floors down, Fred never dreamt of what his life and legacy would become. But he remained remarkably committed to the treasure that he knew was found in God's eternal presence and in God's unconditional love. Fred pieced back together the broken pieces of so many clay jars, and the love of God shone brightly through each and every crack. As we stand in the rubble of the brokenness of our old world, I cannot help but believe that we too are now being renewed by this unexpected transformation. We know that the treasure remains and lives around us, among us, and even within us. But when we reconstruct the jars of clay, the containers in which the very treasure resides, will we work to get things back exactly how they used to be? Will we work to hide our scars? Will we grow calloused over as the marks of our inability to change and grow rear their ugly heads? Or will we allow the seams to shine? Will we allow them to be scars that bear witness to the beauty of struggle, to the promise of scarring, and to the eternal story that God is still making all things new? Well, to be honest, I don't know. But I can't wait to find out.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Steve Rose, property manager here at Greystone Baptist Church. Like most of you, I'm struggling in this COVID-19 stay-at-home time, and I miss my church family. I look forward to the time when we can see each other face-to-face. As I walk around the church building each day, I realize just what a lonely place it is. So I wanted to share with you what that looks like to the staff and me. Here we are in the fellowship hall where we have our Wednesday night meals, our fellowship, and our studies together. It's been a long time since we've gathered in this place, and you may notice that we still have the March decorations out. So we look forward to the next time, and we'll figure out what we need to decorate for next time. So here we are in the picnic area outside the fellowship hall. And if you look out from here, you see all the empty picnic tables. This is a place where we have a lot of our special community events and where preschool children and their parents gather after preschool hours on the weekdays. Our play field, which is now empty, but a place where a lot of community folks come and where we have activities of our own. Here we are on the youth wing. Wanted to show you our classrooms for those of you that have missed them. Here's the middle school. Our high school Bible study. The big youth room where we gather for more social things. And recreation. We're now in the adult Sunday school building at the top. On our left, on your left, we have the Grace Fellowship class, which we also have community groups that meet here. The Insights class on the right. And the Generations. And several more down here as well. Here we are in the children's Sunday school classrooms in the hallway downstairs. The
this for me.
And you see through there an empty playground for the preschool. And then down here, we're outside the fellowship hall out in the lead mine parking lot, where I wanted to show you our missions garden. It looks like we've got a good crop of broccoli growing, I think some tomatoes, and over here lettuce and
okra is starting to grow.
Okra is starting to grow too. We give a lot of this away to North Raleigh Missions. Unfortunately, they're not accepting a lot of donations right now, but looks like with all the rain we've had that we're doing very well out here. We're standing outside in our outdoor or Vespers Chapel, where sometimes preschool teachers will bring the children down here, and where Sunday school classes will occasionally meet. And some people just gather for quiet meditation or prayer. Here's another space at the church that was meant for quiet meditation and prayer. It's called the prayer garden. It exists between the sanctuary and the choir suite over here. We have rhododendrons, mahonia, some natural plants, and some others that have been brought in here. With some volunteer help, we cleaned this up a good bit last year. And we planted some hostas over here in this little shady area that had not been there before. So now we're in the preschool hallway, which has been very quiet lately. I certainly miss the sounds of the children, the laughter, and the patient teachings and guidance of their teachers. We're now in the gathering room across from the sanctuary, where we have so many of our church meetings, diaconate, and others that meet in here, and where we have times of just informal fellowship and greeting before and after church, and where there's also a Sunday school class. You might notice the microphones over here. Chrissy and I are set these up to do a podcast. We're outside the columbarium now. Kind of finish up our tour of the church today. I wanted to point out something that some of you may not have known that we do. We plant Easter lilies after each Easter. These could be from 2 or 3 years ago, depending on when I put them in the ground. They're just now getting ready to bloom, it looks like, and it's almost June. So they're could be after Easter, but it's kind of nice having them around. You know, I think we all miss these church spaces because of what we associate with each of them. And even as we continue to attend virtual church worship and hold our Sunday school classes and other meetings online, I think we all miss our fellowship, the singing of the choir, the performance of our musicians, the teachings of our ministry staff, our mission projects, children and student activities, and special community events in real time. So while the church is more than just a building, it is our physical home. My job, along with that of the Properties Committee, is to ensure we remain good stewards of this wonderful building and 10-acre campus, maintaining its functionality and beauty, even when people are not here. That means taking care of a lot of ordinary things, mowing grass, trimming shrubbery and trees, cleaning our building, paying our utilities and insurance, addressing needed repairs and maintenance, controlling pests, submitting to municipal inspections, managing security, and maintaining all that we do around here, including our vehicles and trailers. It's like taking care of your own house, just on a little bit larger scale. Ultimately, of course, these buildings and the campus exist to support the church's many ministries. It is in all these spaces, as well as far-flung places that we have visited as a church community, that we experience the joys of our lives together. So thank you all for your faithful financial support during this time of uncertainty. Having talked with many of you, I know you miss this place at the intersection of Sawmill and Lead Mine. Even while we are distant from each other during this stay-at-home period, the staff is working hard behind the scenes, as are many of you on teams and committees. to manage the business of the church, and to plan for re-engagement and our eventually getting back together again. I look forward to navigating these now empty spaces with the lights on and people bustling about. And I look forward to being in real, not virtual, community with each of you once again. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for worship this Sunday morning. Don't forget to like and comment down below to show that this is meaningful to you. Also, share this on social media and tag the church. That way we can share the good news. Thank you so much for watching. Hit subscribe and turn on notifications to be notified of every time we have a video.
We would like to take a moment now to share with you some updates from Greystone and some opportunities for the coming week to stay connected with us. Next Sunday, on Pentecost Sunday, we will welcome Dr. Randy Ashcraft as our preacher. Dr. Ashcraft was our interim minister from September 2018 through April 2019, and we know that will be a very special time as we celebrate Pentecost with him. Also, as we celebrate Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church, we want our children and families to celebrate together while apart. So on Wednesday, from 4:30 to 5:30, the children, fifth grade and younger, are invited to come to the church and pick up a birthday party bag to help celebrate the birthday of the church. April will be outside of the church office ready to say hi and give you your kit. Also, Pastor Christie's book club meets on Thursday, May 28th at 10 a.m. for our second and final Zoom conversation about Joan Chittister's book, Scarred by Struggle, Transformed by Hope. If you'd like to join the conversation, email us at office@greystonechurch.org. Also on June 7th, we will recognize our high school and college graduates during worship. And then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we will host a drive-through celebration for our high school graduates. If you or someone in your family is graduating high school or college and you haven't already let us know, please contact the church office also at office@greystonechurch.org and let us know by Tuesday. Our final announcement is that Greystone has the opportunity to join the Faithful Families Thriving Communities Walking Challenge. Participants are asked to keep track of their walking and see, with a little encouragement from the team and weekly tips, if they can increase that step count. If you are interested in enjoying the first days of summer with a few strolls around the neighborhood and connecting with church friends, send Amanda Atkin an email. Thank you for all of your time with us at Greystone.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. And grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth, and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.